Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, Senior Analyst with Wall Street Reporter. Joining me today is Kim Thompson, CEO of Craig Biocraft Laboratories, which trades under the ticker symbol KBLB on the OTC bulletin board. And the company focuses on the development of protein-based fiber using recombinant DNA technology for commercial applications in the textile and specialty fiber industries. Thanks for joining me today, Kim.
It's a pleasure, Juan.
Thanks. Start off by telling us about the progress in your development of site-specific genetic recombination in silkworm.
Sure. Let me give you a little bit of background leading up to that, because that specific question may be a little bit technical for many of our listeners. Craig Biocraft Laboratories is in the genetic engineering business. We don't actually own any laboratories. We do all our work in cooperation with leading universities. We have relationships with University of Notre Dame, for example, where we are a proud sponsor of genetic engineering and research within their laboratories. The company originated from a very simple concept, and that was use of the domesticated silkworm as a protein expression system. Essentially, the domesticated silkworm is a very efficient and cost-effective producer of protein-based polymers. It's been domesticated for thousands of years, and up to this day is being utilized for large-scale production of silk fibers. The original problem that we were focused on in the laboratory was finding a way to produce in commercial quantities a particular spider silk. The DNA codes for this spider silk were analyzed and ultimately patented by the University of Wyoming. And this spider silk is a material that's well known to material scientists. It's tougher, more flexible, in many ways stronger than Kevlar, many times stronger than steel, lightweight. It is, in many respects, a super material. The problem industry had was that there was no way to harvest this material in commercial quantities. The spiders can't be raised like silkworms in concentrated colonies. They're cannibalistic. There just isn't any way to commercially harvest the material in the types of quantities that would be needed by industry. The applications for this material, we believe, are in the technical textiles market. That's approximately, depending upon whose analysis you look at, between a $92 billion to a $110 billion annual market. And to give you an example of the market applications, DuPont sales into that market with Kevlar and similar materials are estimated at somewhere around $5 billion a year. We think that recombinant spider silk could capture 2 to 5% of that total approximately $100 billion market. So this is a significant commercial opportunity and a significant challenge for the laboratory to use genetic engineering technologies to create a production system for this material. The primary work has been done inside laboratories at the University of Notre Dame. The company went public in 2008. Corporation was formed in 2006. But I personally and scientists at University of Notre Dame have been working on this project, even at a theoretical level, since 2001. So this has been a long-term project. The laboratory has been showing steady gains in their work. In fact, as a result of certain reorganizations that Dr. Frazier, he's the head of the laboratory at Notre Dame, has taken, the laboratory has shown more progress in the last 6 or 7 months than we've made in the last several years. So the progress has been very explosive. your lead-in question regarding the site-specific recombination, that is really just the latest in a number of rather exciting events that have taken place in the laboratory. The significance of the site-specific recombination is that it would enable the company to target a specific area on a specific chromosome for insertion of our DNA packets. And, of course, among the DNA packets that are of most interest and concern to us are DNA packets which code for the production of spider silk polymers, spider silk proteins. The reason that it's so significant for us to be able to target a specific spot on the chromosome is something that geneticists refer to as positional effects or location effects. And what that is, in essence, from a layperson's perspective, is that the genetic machinery that tells our bodies or a silkworm's body or a spider's body what proteins to produce and the quantities to produce them in has two major components. One is the actual genetic code, which tells the body how to make a protein and what that protein should consist of. The second and also very important component is where in that string of DNA, where on the chromosome the body has placed that little piece of genetic information. Because where on the chromosome that is placed has significant effects on the amounts, the quantities of, and the timing of the production of those proteins. So this work that Notre Dame is doing in terms of the positional effects is very exciting. It's something that we have been looking at essentially through a telescope for the last several years. And frankly, we were a little bit surprised that we had this breakthrough so early on.
Well, thanks for the background and clarification, Kim. And last month, you also achieved a company record ahead of schedule, I may add, with over 5,000 genetic insertions in a single week. Can you give us some of the details regarding that?
Yes. Essentially, this is another result of the reorganization of the laboratory that Dr. Fraser has undertaken over the last 7, 8, 9 months. And what he's done is he's brought in new scientists, people who are tops in their field, from around the world, from South Korea, from China, the work that they have been performing in the lab over the last 5, 6, 7 months has really surprised us. They've really taken the laboratory and the company to a whole new level in terms of the increases in productivity. On a more personal note, I can attest to the fact that the new scientists coming into the laboratory have also largely changed the culture in the laboratory. I think that it's frankly a happier place. This is a dedicated group of people who love their work, who stay in the lab to get things done, who are very goal-oriented, and the difference is showing up in the results. More specifically, in terms of the number of microinjections, up until recently, the lab would be happy to achieve 100, maybe 300 microinjections in the course of a week. Microinjections are the very labor-intensive, elbow grease kind of work that needs to be done in order to make this kind of genetic engineering system viable. With the increase in the talent that's come into the lab in the last several months and the dedication that they're showing, those numbers have just exploded. And as you pointed out, we were recently able to announce that as many as 5,000 genetic insertions were performed in a single week. Now, what's important is there for people to understand is that in at least one aspect of our work, there is a numbers game at play. Each genetic insertion creates a random DNA event, and each individual insertion creates some small percentage chance of hitting a exciting transgenic. When we were performing 100 or maybe tops 300 such insertions in a single week, the chances that you would achieve a significant breakthrough in any one month were relatively low. Now, with the huge numbers of insertions that are taking place, the potential and the opportunity for us to hit on that transgenic have greatly increased. So this is very exciting, and we're at a point now where every month the laboratory is screening the results of those potential transformations, and each time we do so, it's a matter of great excitement at the laboratory because of the tremendous potential that is there. And in fact, this week, and I believe next week, we will be in the process of doing those screenings.
Thank you. And can you talk a little bit about some of the trends in the market right now, and how well positioned is Craig Biocraft to capitalize?
Good question, Juan. Do you mean trends in the larger market?
Yeah, correct. You could talk a little bit, you know, specifically about the larger market, and you know, you want to talk about, you know, your sector also in more detail.
Well, let's talk about the larger market for a second. Craig is traded on the OTCBB, which essentially means we're a fully reporting company. We're obligated to file quarterly reports with the SEC, including our full financials. But like most OTCBB companies, we are to some extent isolated from the huge swings that have been taking place in the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones Industrial Averages. But that doesn't mean that what's been happening in the broader markets doesn't affect us. Because of the huge swings in the broader markets and a number of other things that are going on in the economy that are be well known to your listeners, there has been a huge credit crunch, a huge amount of concern by investors, and that cannot help but trickle down and have an effect and an impact on smaller companies and OTCBB companies, which usually feel like they're somewhat isolated from those big swings in the market. Craig has been very fortunate at a time when the big blue chips and the household names of our economy have been, you know, collapsing and falling around us, and where there is in the marketplace a great deal of fear about, you know, what is going to happen with many of these, you know, household names. At the same time, Craig has been showing significant progress in the laboratory. Now, in fact, it would appear to me that we are now ahead of our schedule in terms of what specific progress we would anticipate in 2008 and 2009 in the laboratory. By my estimations, we're now ahead of schedule. So that has really positioned Craig well, even while the larger markets have been, you know, going through through fits and starts. And I think that that's being reflected right now in the trading in Craig.
Good answer. And what about what makes the company unique from other companies in your sector?
We are very unique. We're a biotechnology company, but as your readers and listeners will know, most biotechnology companies are focused most specifically on the healthcare industry and the pharmaceutical industry. And in that industry, one of the biggest risks and costs and expenses the companies have is getting their products through the FDA regulatory process. that process puts a great deal of risk on companies, and most products, of course, that are developed at great expense fail at the first, second, or third clinical trial stage, and they never make it to market. We're a little bit different because our products are not pharmaceutical products primarily. They're materials. They're advanced recombinant silk polymers, which have virtually unparalleled properties of strength, resiliency, flexibility. And our target market is not primarily human health. It's the technical textiles market for industry and potentially military use. So we aren't subject to the same types of risks that other biotechnology companies are, at least in terms of the FDA clinical trial process. We're also rather unique in that, in essence, our company is a hybrid of biotechnology and nanotechnology. To the best of my knowledge, we're rather a unique company in that regard. And when I say nanotechnology, what I mean is the silk polymers that we are working to produce are essentially nanomaterials. They are of an incredibly, incredibly small scale, something much smaller on an individual basis than humans are up until the advent of nanotechnology, much smaller than humans could produce. We happen to be using a biological system to produce these materials because that system is so much more efficient and cost effective, and it's also the only known way to produce these types of complex proteins. So we are in a very unique niche in the industry. I'm not sure that there's any other company quite like KBLB out there.
Great. And looking ahead to the company's progress, what objectives has management set for the company over the next 12 to 24 months?
That's an excellent question. Our goal is to continue to ramp up the research and development work on recombinant polymers, and to do that primarily within the University of Notre Dame. There are also opportunities in pharmaceutical production, which we are looking closely at with some related technologies. And if the opportunity arises, we may be moving into that area as well. Our expectation is, and our goal is, that we will see continued progress in the laboratory towards producing recombinant spider silk-based polymers. And it would be our goal within the time frame you mentioned to achieve laboratory production of recombinant spider silk polymers, which would show substantial mechanical advantages over any other fiber currently available to the technical textiles industry.
Good. And management recently announced an approved stock dividend. Before we conclude, Kim, what are talk a little bit about this, and also what are some of the key reasons that investors should consider Craig Biocraft as a long-term investment opportunity?
Well, you're right. The board of directors recently has announced that Craig will be issuing a significant stock dividend. Each share of Craig that's held on the record date will be entitled to receive an additional 9 shares. And the effect of that essentially is if someone's holding 1,000 shares of Craig on the record date, when they receive that dividend, they'll then be holding 10,000 shares. So it's a significant change in the corporation's capital structure, and it's something that the company is very excited about. The board made the decision in part to assist the company in its goal of increasing our shareholder base. I think the company is very excited about the prospects and how that news has been received by the market.
Great, and we do look forward to continuing to track the company's progress.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks for joining me, Kim.